I'm going to take your phone calls and continue our discussion with Shane Connor, Stephen Quayle in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Shane Connor, any more basic civil defense we need to know about?
George, the greatest killer that we're going to have when we have a nuclear weapon go off here in this country is going to be panic. People aren't going to know what to do. The government is not going to be in a position to direct them because of how promptly they need to take the correct action. People need to get educated before it happens. It's very simple, as I mentioned earlier. It's something that a fifth grader in the Soviet Union is taught. The extreme basics. We've put together a simple 8-page report. It's free. If a person would go ahead and do what this report suggests to them, and it doesn't include buying anything from us or anything, it's things that they would do to their house, around their house, in education. They're looking at increasing their odds of survival easily 100-fold. And for any family that does this, that can be the difference between surviving or not, because panic truly is going to be the big killer just for simple lack of knowledge.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Should that also include taping, you know, parts of your door and things like that?
It does, in regards to if you're going to shelter in place, you end up doing that to go ahead and keep the fallout dust out. But there's shielding things that you need to do as far as moving mass around that are primary, that need to be done first. Otherwise, taping the windows would be a mute thing, you know. But it's so simple. It's so straightforward. And we start off with helping people make the simple decision, do I stay or do I go? And if they're staying, we explain to them how they need to immediately start storing water and everything that they possibly can. People can go without food for a couple of weeks, but you may not last 3-4 days without clean water.
Here's an individual who gives his full name, tells me exactly where he's a police officer, but I will not announce that for his own sake. But he did say he's in Texas and that they were issued weapons of mass destruction kits. They have access to important intelligence. He says he believes an incident is imminent somewhere, and he says your local police are not going to be a threat to your liberties. We're going to be too busy, and also we're trying to take care of our own families. Interesting comment, huh?
It is. We're getting feedback that security has been enhanced all over the country. Things have been tightened up. Seaports, airports, in military bases. They're expecting something here soon.
What happened, Stephen Quayle, for all this to occur? I mean, where did we lose control? What happened to
I can give you the best answer to that, is we lost our human intelligence capability under the Clinton administration. And again, they relied on satellite. They relied on signal intelligence. They basically got rid of the guys that did the footwork, the spies, and they never thought it was important enough. You know, this whole situation has not just come on us unaware. There were a lot of us, and I mean a lot of us, blowing the whistles, sirens, saying, look, this is going to be an issue. This is going to be a problem. But I would sum it up in lack of human intelligence. Look, you can always find the guy that knows. In the world of the breakup of the Soviet Union, all I had to do was talk to Russians who admitted to being spies in different cities. And after the breakup of the Soviet Union, you know, buying them a steak dinner and consulting with them, you'd be surprised what the people could tell you. But you see, under the Clinton doctrine of intelligence gathering, they relied on all of the gadgets but forgot the most important thing, and that was the human element. And that, in my opinion, is what led to the catastrophic intelligence failure that we hear about daily in the radio, the TV programs, where the FBI and CIA and the DIA and the NSA and the NSC, and everybody's fighting, you know?
Do you believe that Osama bin Laden is still alive?
You know, I thought he was dead based on, you know, information from guys who were actively pursuing him. I believe that at this point, you know, until I can see some major indication that he's alive, I still believe he's dead. That doesn't mean they're not playing it for all it's worth. Now, the other hand...
Then who's controlling the strings here?
Well, first of all, let me share this. You and I both are on record, George, as stating that there's an unseen hand behind al-Qaeda.
Absolutely.
And so to say that, look, it can be any one of his deputies. You know, the big story that came out this weekend was Zawahiri was trained by the KGB. Now, that's kind of ironic since the Mujahideen were fighting the KGB and the Russians in Afghanistan before we got involved in it. I think that was a big red flag. I think one of the other things that we've got to cover is this, is just as the gentleman in law enforcement sent you that fact that something is imminent, most people will not be able to tell what's safe and not safe if the zones, because of the radioactive fallout, if they don't have a simple meter. And as Shane told you, the FEMA was going to throw them all away until Congressman Santorum went out and got them to stop that. But I think that most people should ponder, you know, the fact that they're going to need some way of defining. And look, the bottom line is we have health insurance, we have life insurance, we have we got all the kinds of insurance in the world, but we need the assurance. And again, I think people should recognize if they are in a city that is on the target list, and the target list, if you take in the Chinese threats or the 200 largest cities in the United States, they're going to need some form of radiation monitoring. And, you know, that's a couple $100 at the most. So I think it's important that people get the understanding that this officer that just sent you the fax or the email, George, his office has obviously given those guys the effective tools. But as Shane said, you know, there's 2 million and only 22,000 have been trained effectively. Now, the reason Texas is on the, you know, on the up and up and the forefront of equipping their officers is because when you talk to law enforcement behind the scenes, especially around Beaumont, Texas, and some of the refinery towns that have experienced unusual amounts of accidents, they'll tell you point blank what really happened. A lot of people still won't acknowledge it. So I would say that critical to the understanding of the timing of these events is paying close attention to what local law enforcement says, because I find that local law enforcement's got a better handle on what's really going on, especially in the target cities, than all of the what I would call hodgepodge of the mismatched federal agencies.
Does every city, Shane, have some monitoring devices or not?
Well, they do. And for instance, in New York City, they have on, I believe, well in excess of 10,000 that are being carried by first responders, policemen, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with those is that they're extremely sensitive. They're for interdiction, to go ahead and try to find something before it goes off. And what happens is when something has gone off, these instruments are useless because they peg out, they max out it too low a range, because they were made to be very sensitive to detect something before it went off. And the big scandal that's going to happen the day after something has gone off is the frustration of the first responders not being able to do their job because they didn't have civil defense, wartime, higher range meters with which they could go in there and know whether they were good to work that area for, 2 days instead of their current meters. They won't know if they can be in there for 2 days or 2 minutes.
Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Where are you? Hello?
Hello, are you talking to me?
I sure am.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ohio.
Okay, go ahead. Who's your question for?
I think it's for Shane.
All right.
I would like more specifics on what he thinks the average person could store for food for long term, assuming you didn't have electricity, and also if he sells that, and if he sells one of the devices small enough that a regular person could carry it to detect nuclear radiation?
Well, let me answer that, Vice. He's got a website, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I am not doing a program so anyone can sell product and try to instill any fear in you. If you're interested in any of our guests in their websites, by all means, go ahead and take a look at that. And Sean,
okay,
I would
hold on.
And Shane, I would prefer that you not even answer that part of the question. Is that okay?
No, that's fine. And I would like to say we've got about 800 pages of free information on our website. In fact, the only two books we sell, they're free on the website. A person can go read and print the whole book out for free too. So we're primarily focused towards the educational end because we know that'll save the greatest number of people.
Excellent. Well, Shane is on this program with Steve Quayle today because of his expertise. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, this is Greg in Atlanta, Georgia.
Sure thing. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of toss this up, and Shane or Mr. Quayle, I'll take either one of them and grab at it. Have you guys ever heard of a book series called the Deathland series? Like I said, it tells about an outfit. They plant bombs around nuclear bombs around Washington D.C. During when the president's taking office.
I'm not familiar with it.
I'm not familiar with it either.
Okay. Well, anyway, like I said, they end up taking out the president, the vice president. I mean, they take everybody out.
Yeah, it's a series by James Axler.
Yeah, right, right. But, I mean, what you guys are talking about as far as, weapons, planted around and whatnot, something like that could actually happen.
Absolutely.
Shane, the previous caller, and I jumped ahead, wanted to know if you could store food for a long time.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And for the initial part of having to do so for a nuclear emergency, you want to have food that doesn't require any serious preparation. In other words, we're speaking of canned goods and foods that, you can just tear open and get into and eat. For long-term food storage, you want to go ahead and take a look at your grains, your beans, your rice, potatoes, things like that, bulk food, because it's extremely inexpensive to go ahead and lay in a lot of food for a little bit of money. But you do have to have enough food that doesn't require any preparation, for that initial couple of days at least, if not the first 2 weeks that we're in a threat situation.
We'll be eating a lot of raisins, if anything.
There you go. So granola bars, all that.
Things
stuff.
Like that. I mean, that'll keep you alive, won't it?
Absolutely.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Where are you?
Well, I'm from St. Louis. Sure miss you here, George.
Wonderful. Hi.
Yeah, my comment is since the Chinese have already said that it's going to be like Hiroshima, I believe they're going to target just like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they'll probably correspond with the same dates.
That's a good point. Stephen, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that with the... I agree, number one, that those dates are absolutely worth watching, because I think that most people have picked up that there's a lot of communications going on with these fatwas and with these videotapes and audio tapes. And so Hiroshima, obviously, that happened, I think, the 6th of August, and Nagasaki, what, the 9th of August? So those are some dates, the 26th of August. It seems, George, like a lot of stuff happens in August, and it seems like, again, the major exercise, going back to our exercise theory, that's going to take place mid-August, so it seems like everything is articulated to the month of August.
That one I'm going to watch, Steve. As a matter of fact, it might be wise for us to be on the air while that exercise is occurring that evening.
Yeah, we should probably send Rudy Giuliani an email saying, hey, where are you planning to be?
Yeah.
Anywhere close to South Carolina.
Exactly. Don't be there. I had someone just sent me an email, and it said, did you check to see if he was in Madrid during the train bombings? I mean, that would be bizarre. I don't think he was, but who knows anymore. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, thank you, George. One quick favor I'd like to ask. You don't have to answer, but this is so important, and it's hard for we listeners, and I recorded your show with Paul Williams, and I probably violated Clear Channel's copyright by sending it a copy of it to my congressman.
I don't want to hear it. No, that's okay.
But it would be so important for you to put this as a free downloadable podcast, this show and the Paul Williams show, that people could refer the powers that be to actually listen to the sources and how credible this is. When you try to talk to a congressman or anybody of importance, I mean, there's a giggle factor that even Coast to Coast has. And I was amazed with all of the emails that had to go to the major talk show hosts that none of them touched the topic with the exception of Michael Savage. And they had to have gotten hundreds of thousands of emails from your listeners after that, and they just ignored it. So to my comment.
I'll tell you what we'll do on the podcast. When we do our next free downloading for non-StreamLink members, I'll make sure that this show's included in that.
Very grateful. To my comment, when this nuclear bomb goes off, and it is a matter of when, I think everybody knows that now, who are the fingers? Who do you think's going to do it? It's going to be the Muslims, right? But according to Paul Williams, the Chinese and the Russians are handling the maintenance and the nuclear triggers. If they wanted a straw man for us to unload on Mecca, like Tom Tancredo said, would be a possibility on your show, and Medina, boy, oh boy, do you know how easy it would be for these incredibly strategic planners in China and Russia to absolutely set us up to go after the Muslims while they just come in and pick up the pieces when it's all disrupted?
Yep. What a Ponzi game that would be.
I've never believed that any of the ready-to-shoot nukes that have come out of Russia weren't with their blessing. If Al-Qaeda's got them in their Russian suitcase nukes, Russia wanted them to have them, and they knew exactly where they were going. They're not as stupid and as inept as some people would think. You know?
Do you trust Putin, Shane?
Absolutely not.
You do not.
Absolutely not.
What about you, Mr. Quayle?
I would say that absolutely not. You're dealing with the former high-ranking KGB head, and I got to tell you, in watching his control and his clamping down on quote-unquote democracy in Russia, he is the ultimate chess player. I think the caller has absolutely nailed it. I couldn't have said it any clearer than the caller who just presented that, because they're using a proxy, a straw man, and therefore the intelligence that was given to Al-Qaeda, even on the transponders for Air Force One after 9/11, that information could only have come from either Russia or the Chinese intelligence service. So the caller who just made his feelings and perceptions known, I think, is right on. That's my perspective, too.
All right, well, stay with us. We'll be back. We'll wrap things up by taking final phone calls for our guests, Stephen Quayle, Shane Connor. Shane's website is KI4, that's the number, KI4U.com. Stephen Quayle is SteveQuayle.com. Both of those linked up right next to their names on CoastToCoastAM.com. Well, back to the paranormal tomorrow, as my guest will be the witch, the good witch, Evelyn Paglini. So get ready. She's got some brand new information for us on mystical magic. But when we come right back, we'll finish up with the rest of your phone calls and our guests Shane Connor and Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. Steve, what are the possibilities, because you have written about fallen angels before, of some angelic intervention here to bail us out of this mess?
Well, I believe that there is a supernatural fight going on between good and evil, and I believe that to a large extent, many of the times that these devices have been found have been in response to literally the intervention of angels that are... And angel, the word angel means messengers, and the messengers of God. So the point is that that's going on. But just as there are good angels, there are also bad angels. And I think that one of the things that people have got to understand is there is a true spiritual battle going on between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And in that realm, I think that, you know, the prophecies that have been put forth, especially in the book of Revelation and others, I mean, you know, we're watching right now Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet, what's going on in Israel. And as I've stated, the whole Middle East seems to be on the fuse of Israel. So I think that we're seeing specifically right now an end-time scenario set up where, quite candidly, it's not enough just to know all the stuff you can know about these different negative things that can take place. But I think a person needs to have their heart and their attitude really fixed on the things of God, to the point of realizing that, hey, this is serious stuff. And the Bible specifically talks about people who are delivered by supernatural intervention. So I believe that that's a very functional part of life, and I believe it's real.
What if people are being framed? Paul Williams is being tricked. Stephen Quayle is being tricked. Shane Connor is being tricked, misled by these elitists who are looking for control, fear, that there will be no nuke attacks, but they just want us to always believe it as they continue to take more and more and chip away our rights. Possible? Would you be surprised?
Go ahead, Shane.
I was just going to say, you know, I've got kids, and I would be absolutely thrilled to find out that Steve and I are way off base on all of this stuff. I would be eager to go ahead and find something else to do if we didn't have to be concerned with these issues.
How about you, Stephen?
Well, again, the thing is that I am always subject to the, or I'm always aware that there's information, disinformation, and controlled access. And people have said, well, you realize when you talk about stuff that scares people, Steve, that's what the New World Order wants to do. And I basically go by the words of Jesus, that ye shall know the truth, the truth shall set you free. Everyone quotes that, but no one wants to give him the credit for saying it. So I think that the truth, even as unnerving and unsettling as it might be, is still nevertheless the remedy, because I believe, George, that we got into this mess due to all the cover-ups and the intrigue and the lack of telling the truth. And I believe the truth is out there. Do I also think that misinformation and disinformation can be given to effectuate the Patriot Act by keeping people frightened? Absolutely. The difference is, though, is Russia. Watching Russia and China's actions in the last 2 weeks concurrent with the situation that Mr. Williams is writing about, and Jerome Corsi in his book, What Atomic Iran, I would say this, that puts a different twist on it, because the New World Order, and there is a group, an international group, is not going to have an easy time with Russia and China. They just signed basically their own agreement 2 weeks ago stating that they are not going to go along with it, which but, also brings it into the spiritual realm.
But they've got to believe there's going to be retaliation.
Oh, absolutely. But again, by using a straw man or using the people, that will be
deception.
Yeah, it's going to be deception, and that gives the vengeance. It, you know, they can sit back and actually, I think Shane said, they can just sit back and watch what goes out and gets taken care of.
Like
and
these,
I think we will retaliate. I think North Korea, I believe Iran, and I believe probably Syria, and maybe Pakistan.
Like these four idiots in London were probably told, hey, take these backpack bombs. You're going to do a great service for us. Put them in the trains, put them in the subways, and then leave. And they probably went, okay, we're part of this great mission. They probably didn't know that they were going to be suicide bombers at
Absolutely.
All. And I'm convinced that the 9/11 hijackers, I think most of those terrorists on the planes did not know that they were going to be suicide killers. I think the
right.
pilots did, but I don't think the rest of them did.
Yeah.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's me, Tim from LA.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great. I got a question for Steve. He made a comment about how Osama bin Laden had, I guess, a concern or, I guess, vengeance for the Japanese during World War II at Hiroshima, Nagasaki. I guess my question is, why? Because Japan is a Buddhist country, not a Muslim country.
Well, first of all, I don't think you heard correctly. He was saying that what America has sown by dropping bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki was going to kind of like his version of karma. It was going to come back on us. So he was identifying the historic dropping of bombs, basically looking for the his form of moral imperative to do it to us because we did it to others.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I misunderstood it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim, for being on the program with us. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast Around the Air. Where are you calling from?
Omaha, Nebraska. This is John.
Hi, John. It's all yours.
Yes, I just had a question for either one of your guests. Is Omaha in any greater danger due to the fact that on 9/11, President Bush ended up here in Offutt Air Force Base?
Well, it's a safe haven. What do you think, Stephen?
Well, I mean, the story is, you know, there are...
But does Strategic Air Command actually increase the risk here, or...
Well, first of all, you guys were the number one target in the country when the Strategic Air Command was still active. As you know, under President Bush Sr., the Strategic Air Command was deactivated. The Air Force base you talk about is one of the underground bases where dignitaries and high-ranking military and civilian officials would go. There are about 200 of them in the country. That you guys at Offutt have a what's called continuity of government set up there. So, you know, the point is that, yeah, that's a strategic target, but it wouldn't do the same benefit because it's a hardened target as New York, Washington, D.C., L.A., Seattle, Dallas, you know. In other words...
So if you have a lot of bombs to spare, you might want to throw one here, but if you're, like, limited to, say, 20, this might not be the best place to go.
Right. The only thing that was always stated about your area was an EMP blast, an electromagnetic pulse. Of a 20 megaton weapon is claimed that the EMP, the high electromagnetic voltage, would actually take out the entire power grid of the United States. So that's where Omaha always always fit in to the equation of a blinding strike. And about a month ago, that was a talk all over the internet. Main news stories were taking it up that an EMP pulse could bring the United States to its knees.
You're making me feel better all the time.
And they talked about an Iranian bomb that would do that.
Iran is very much dedicated to an electromagnetic pulse first attack on the United States.
I was told by some people just a few days ago that they are convinced that Osama bin Laden is hiding in Iran. And if that's the case, look out. First-time caller line, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes.
Pleasure to speak to you.
First-time
caller from Freeport, Louisiana. Got a question. Well, question is for the whole panel, anyone who wants to answer it. Do they recommend keeping a firearm handy? If so, do they see ammunition being a problem?
I would go ahead and stock up. We're looking at a lot of panicked people. If we have a nuclear event, and when people get hungry, it can get pretty nasty. So for self-defense, if you're proficient with firearms and you keep them in safely, et cetera, I'd be stocked up. I think one of the first things that'll shut down is all gun sales and ammo sales.
Okay. And something a previous caller had brought up, I'm about 2 miles from Barksdale Air Force Base, specifically the 8th Air Force Bomb Wing. Plus probably a good percentage of the nation's nuclear stockpile. How high up on the target list would that be?
Well, under Soviet war doctrine, you guys would be a primary target. So at this point, when we're talking about nuclear weapons being detonated in the hands of terrorists under the guise of control of mainstream Chinese, I don't think you would be one of the first places hit.
Now how close would they have to get, Stephen, to that base with, let's say, a car loaded with a nuke?
Well, first of all, I mean, that also all bases, George, that exist that were around during the Cold War are hardened, and there's more underground than there is above ground. But now what the caller did say is that, a lot of the weapons are stored there, and there are visionaries like Dmitry Dudeman that had visions, actually angels showing them the conversation of people, the Russian and the Chinese, talking about literally attacking our weapons storage depots. So the point is that wherever nuclear weapons are stored, and, that's quasi-top, supposedly top secret, but everybody knows, there are some areas around the country that would be very, very much at risk for that very reason.
Steve, this is the Book of Revelation.
You've got it.
I mean, it talks about, you know, how the East and you know, the Asian. I mean, that's it.
Well, you know, and again, you know, you take into consideration that the whole Mideast, and you take into consideration all of the surveillance and the, you know, digital angel, I call it digital devil. You know, all of the surveillance technology, it talks about the time when a man won't be able to buy, rent, sell, or trade except he have the mark of the beast, the number of his name. And it seems like, George, all these events, curiously, are, in my opinion, controlled by a very malevolent evil that is bringing it all to the ultimate control time. And that was very much stated in the book of Revelation.
If some of this evil includes some people in this country, you know, part of this group that we all think exists out there, are they prepared to lose millions of lives?
Absolutely.
For whatever they want?
Absolutely. Their prime directive. Look, there are so many quotes. Some night you can go over the quotes of some pretty well-known individuals that they want to take the population down. You remember when we talked about that on the roundtable with Alex and Jim Mars and I forget who else, Linda Moulton Howe,
mm-hmm.
They're talking about the fact that they are on record as stating that the planet, they feel the planet, they, meaning the New World Order, feels that the planet can sustain 500 million people. So with 6 billion people now present, that means 5.5 billion people have to die. And the best way to do that is through biologically engineered diseases and nuclear weapons.
Frightening. Wildcard Line, you're up. Hi there.
Hey, gentlemen. This is Chad calling from San Diego. Hey, and I want to talk about that unseen hand. Great topic. And I think it's fascinating how the Mossad slogan, through deception, make war, as verified through Ostrovsky's The Other Side of Deception. There's reports of Israeli agents running rampant all over the United States, Europe, Asia, linked to Bali, evidence that they set off a mini nuke in Bali, being caught with flight manuals, Stinger missiles, videos of the Sears Tower, detonators. And it seems like these globalists and these elitist Jews will even murder.
Oh, well, you're way off base on that. Most of them informed us months in advance about 9/11. Way in advance of 9/11. They may have the information way before we do. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mark and Clovis, listening on KMJ 580 in Fresno.
Hi.
Was wondering about the EMP pulse that's generated by a nuclear blast, if there's an amount of time you knew before it would hit and what it would do to cars, because if we're trying to get away from whichever way that cloud is coming.
Well, that kind of a blast would occur. It could be launched from a ship close to shore, high up in the atmosphere. Stephen, there's really no defense on that, is there?
No, it's instantaneous. And, you know, again, in talking with Shane, when that whole story broke nationally, the concern is that any car after about 1982 would simply not function. Any of the early 70 cars don't have all the electronics. And, you know, the point that most people got to understand, in a panic situation, it's going to be tough enough to try and get to go anyplace. So that's why Shane starts out on his recommendation. Decide if you're going to go. And if you're going to go, then as tensions escalate, meaning go someplace other than where you are now, versus sheltering in place. But EMP will basically bring every vehicle outside of military vehicles to a screeching halt, unless, you know, they're older than some people say 79, some people say 82. It actually depends on the brand. But anyway, all the modern cars will just simply shut down, will not run.
Also, too, any ground burst nuclear weapon is going to have an EMP component as well. It's obviously not going to cover as wide an area, but beyond the blast zone, you are going to fry all of your electronics there, too.
It goes right through buildings, absolutely. Sure. And for what distance, Steve, do we know? 20 miles, 50 miles?
Well, I'll let Shane answer that one, because, again, that's his specialty.
All right.
I honestly don't know.
You know, George, why he says that is because a lot of the EMP information is still classified. I mean, it's classified top secret, but it is basically a function of an airburst has more EMP, and then linear, everything from railroad lines to power lines, anything that has electrical conductivity will absolutely be the channel or conduit for it. So a 20 megaton, but what most people have got to understand, and I say most people, because I'm assuming that the people that listen to Coast are in a different category. This isn't flattery. They want to know what's going on. And